This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday in H-Town or wherever you happen to be listening. You got Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you got me, Reginald Adetula. We were obviously just talking about Fernando Valenzuela passing yesterday at the age of 63. And of course, I think maybe it's a few weeks back or maybe last month we had gotten into that. You know, how old is to, you know.
When is gone too soon?
Yeah, when is gone too soon?
Is there
soon?
A number? Yeah. I think we landed on retirement age.
Yeah, I thought I was like, 65, 66, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And once you're in that bag. And so someone from the 954 texts us and says, hope 63 is early. I turn 63 tomorrow. Shout out to you. Happy birthday.
You would be gone too soon.
In
63 years young.
There you go.
Yeah.
Always. Never mind, I'm not going to say nothing. Then I will sound like a youth, just soaring in youthful ignorance, and I don't want to do that on these airwaves. I know we got a lot of mature, advanced listeners in our audience. We appreciate every one of y'all.
A lot of salt and pepper in the beards.
But it's distinguished, right? Like, that's the thing I love about, like, and I guess maybe this is, like, kind of, dudes have that benefit, is that you get older, but you become more distinguished.
Yeah, distinguished. That's why I got the gray
more
hair.
Wise.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why I never color my hair.
Is that why?
Yeah, own it. Distinguished.
You should color your hair one day, man.
Hell,
just go back black.
No,
that's a bet. That's a bet payoff.
That should be a bet.
Just like, we got to get you
jet to, black.
Jet black. Yes. Yeah. Just how crazy is that going to look?
That's. By the way, I was going to make this a confession, but I'm not.
What?
Because I have another one.
Oh.
I like this look over here.
Okay, oh, with the hair.
Yeah, he's got the blowout, man.
Okay.
Or what do you call that?
I was trying to go for a washing. I don't know how well I did that, but that's neither here nor there. This is not the Reggie hair care segment. Let's talk about these Texans. I was listening to the Mina Kimes show. She does a great job, and she had a former Pro Bowler on, Alex Smith, with her, and they had a fun conversation. I found it really interesting in them talking about this week's game with the Texans and the Packers. Mina Kimes had a worry and a concern about this Texas team, and I kind of wanted to see if the listeners agreed with her. This is what she said.
Here is my fear with CJ Stroud. He is beginning to be the new Justin Herbert for me, where every week on tape, I'm like, this dude is putting out some of the best throws I've seen of any quarterback, and yet everything around him is crumbling. He's constantly in third and long. They're constantly running the ball with no success and early downs, and guys aren't open. And it's just, I am starting to really worry because we're about halfway into the season. This should be a Super Bowl team. But Alex, it feels like the infrastructure around him is not good enough right now.
That is, couple that with what I mentioned yesterday about, We're not going there yet, but there's a symptom, you know, of maybe missing a throw that he wouldn't miss. Maybe, you know, getting out of the pocket a little early. Maybe, you know, sort of showing that frustration more than he would otherwise. Not trusting things as much as he would otherwise. I don't know if she's on to something, but I think we're seeing it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think you have to. There is something there, right?
Yeah.
If you look at what CJ has been able to do, it is very abundantly clear that he is failed is going to be too strong. So I don't want to use that word, but the system around him, what has been put around him is not living up to the task of the support that he deserves. Right. We can start with the offensive line. We have broken that down many ways, right? All sorts of different ways. But then also in addition to that, she's pointing at Bobby Slowick, right? And we have to have some conversation about Bobby Slowick here in some of these. One of the things that she got to immediately is one of the big things, and I don't know if on this show we've talked about enough, which is, hey, man, y'all are lighting first and second downs on fire a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so a good amount of this is running the football, and I understand that in this Shanahan, I guess Kubiak, but it was Shanahan a lot, offensive style, they like running the football, and the idea is, well, you establish the run and you play action off of it. But in the way that they've been running the football, yes, especially with Joe Mixon, you're able to get big, big explosive plays, but you're not able to run the football in a very particular way,
right?
Which is making sure that you have a high success rate, and you constantly do that.
You know,
and all you're doing in a lot of those instances is putting yourself in third and longs, third and mediums, and we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're making it more difficult on him, on top of the fact that you know your offensive line has not been pristine in these blocks. At best, they've been average this year, and when they've been average, that means some of their performance have been below average in the course of it, and we saw that this Sunday.
Yeah, and I think what, to your point, you know, when you talk about there's it's the first time I've said this ever, because I call him the savant, or I have called him the savant. Is there a Bobby Slowick problem? Because it's one thing for me to sit here and say he's doing things that don't really jibe with the way he usually plays. It's quite another thing to say receivers aren't getting open. We know these receivers are good. It's quite another to say they're not getting a lot of yardage on first and second down. Like you said, they tend to be setting those on fire a lot of times. That's a whole different ball game. That's not personnel. You know, that's not, at least we don't think it's personnel, because we've seen, you know, the body of work of these guys. That's play calling. That's system. And that's when you all of a sudden you start to kind of wonder, you know?
And in addition to that, right, like one of the things that we were talking about yesterday, because Jeff Schwartz did a great job of highlighting it, are your protection schemes beneficial and utilize the talent of your players? I think that's the question it is. Like, we talk about Bobby Slowick being a young quarterback or young play caller, and I think that might be factoring into what we're looking at here, because one of the things I think about with an older coach, or I think about this often with the context of like teams that have been together for a long time, is the institutional knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
I think about this a lot with Kansas City Chiefs, or actually really the Golden State Warriors, basketball-wise. There was a point in time where, you know, they get down in a playoff situation, and they're dealing with something that a team is throwing at them, and instead of going, how do we beat this, they go, hey, you remember that one time?
Yeah, we know how to beat this.
Right, do you remember that one time that we saw this before?
Yeah.
This is how you deal with that. You have a knowledge of things that you've seen before, and it's not even just an academic knowledge. It's a lived experience that you can turn to and utilize in some ways. Now, that can go a different way in some instances where you have that knowledge and you're leaning too heavily on your experience as opposed to what actually works in the modern time, right? You can see that happen from time to time. But in this instance, I do wonder if Bobby Slowick is just, he doesn't have the breadth of experience just yet to be able to be like, hey, I know that different things, I've seen some things that maybe are answers for some of the things that you're dealing with. And on top of that, I think also he might be a little too attached to the scheme, and what you might need to do is match some of the things that you're admittedly kind of ramshackle, and that feels a little too harsh, I don't know what the right word is, but admittedly kind of, you know, unique situation offensively, particularly with this offensive line, but match what they can do to what you're putting on the tape on the field, as opposed to like what the system naturally, what you want to do and forcing those guys to try and get to there, because it feels like that isn't quite working right now.
I feel like you're right, you know, when it comes to that, and maybe because some of the things that the Packers were throwing at him were not exactly unique or groundbreaking.
Well, yeah, that's the tough thing is you got, you know, simple games up front that are getting messed up.
So that also speaks to not just maybe Bobby hasn't really, you know, had that experience, that lived experience, as you put it. But I think it also speaks to personnel. When it comes to the offensive line, I think it could easily be they're just not that good.
Right.
They're not as good as we thought they were.
No, for sure.
Now, that's not the case at receiver, and it's not the case, you know, for the most part at running back. But, and even tight end. We know Dalton Schultz hadn't played like we thought he could. You know, so is that a schematic thing?
Well, I think it becomes, and I don't know if schematic is the right word, but it becomes a coaching decision thing, because once you are able to suss that out, now do you just keep going with it because, hey, man, they need to do better? Or does it become, let's see if we could find something that they can do better, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that what that becomes at that point, right? It's almost like you're in rearing a child, right? They're not listening to me. They're not getting this right. At what point do you go, all right, well, I need to change my approach in how we do this, or do you just continue to, for lack of a better term, run your head into a wall?
But that's what I'm saying. Even tight end, you know, we know he can do better. He has done better. He's done better here. And
more consistently, because I do
more consistently
in giving Bobby some grace here. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of inconsistent play from the players themselves, which sometimes as a coach, what you want more than, I know is than good is consistent, because mm-hmm. at least you know exactly what to expect. You can build off that. And sometimes the inconsistency that you're seeing on this offensive line in particular, but with some of this offense, makes it tough, I'm sure.
And that's why, you know, I thought it was so profound and important when we heard D'Amico Ryan say it's all on the table, because he sees these exact same things. And it's not just, you know, about the offensive line, but obviously it starts with the offensive line and maybe everything gets better, but it's all on the table. Maybe he's looking at, you know, how they're coaching the line, you know, how Bobby Slowik is scheming up things for the line and for the receivers. It's not just, hey, replace Kenyon Green or whatever it might be. It's all on the table.
Yeah. And I mean, on top of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way the predictability of it sometimes yeah. as well, right? Like you saw a Packers team that lined up, and not like they did this specifically for this game. They blitzed pretty much exclusively on third down coming to the season. Very, very low blitz percentages on first. At first down, they're literally the lowest blitz percentage in the league. Second down, I think they were bottom three, bottom four in blitz percentage. Mm-hmm. You knew that was a situation where there wasn't going to be pressure. You would hope that maybe you adjust a little bit and then you throw the football knowing that you're going to have opportunities and time to throw. But again, it feels like the philosophy is such that, hey, we're going to run the football and then we're going to play action off of that and those things. And that has not necessarily served this offense to the fullest of the extent. So I'll be interested to see how Bobby Slowik does there. And I hesitate to be too harsh with this, because I understand that there are some challenges with it, but we're getting late enough in the season.
What it is,
results need to happen.
What it is it's a fair question. Because, and I thought the 806, very good point here. What frustrates me so much was how well they adapted last year when they found something that didn't work, and that seems to have disappeared this year. That's why it's more of a question, and that's why it's all on the table, because we've seen Bobby Slowik at his best, and it's a beauty to watch, and it wasn't a team that had this many weapons. You know, you got to decide, is it personnel or scheme, or are we not making the adjustments that we know we should make, you know, or maybe don't know we should make?
And one of the things, again, harkening back to this Mina Kimes clip from the Mina Kimes show from ESPN, I found it kind of, I don't know if encouraging or interesting in the course of this. She also did the thing where she did not want it to be lost. This team has the capability of being a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly want to make sure that I say that, because it can be very easy to just focus on the negatives in this. That's why it becomes such a big deal. That's why I feel like I'm, at least for me personally, not speaking about anyone else, I'm harping so much on this offensive line and these types of things, and making sure that you're, you know, putting these guys in the best circumstances, because if and when you get those right, you're back on the pace with a lot of these teams. Yeah,
absolutely.
Out here,
another text. Maybe they were talking to, I know they were talking to me. Maybe they're talking about what you just said. You have to be a grade A idiot to think we are a Super Bowl team this year. I still think it's there. You know, I still think there are elements there, and that's what's so frustrating. You know, maybe not the offensive line. We can obviously say there's going to be some, you know, personnel changes along the offensive line. And by the way, they're on the practice field, so we'll see if anything comes out of that. But no, the elements are still there, and I think that's what makes it so frustrating, because the adjustments haven't been there and the production like we expected haven't been there.
Yeah, and so I'm interested to see what Bobby Slowik is able to do in adjusting and moving forward. Honestly, I'm really interested to see what Bobby Slowik kind of says after a week like this one from the Packers. He'll talk tomorrow, and we'll have the opportunity to kind of get into that audio on the show on Friday, but that is where I'm super intrigued, because I don't know that Bobby's gotten this level of heat before.
No.
In the ways that it's building up this season. And so I'm interested to see how he handles that. And ultimately, the most important thing is how he gets things working on the field, because D'Amico said it, man, like everything's on the table. And that kind of put a level of pressure and a timeline on, hey, this needs to get done. There you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to Mina Kimes for that perspective on the Texans. All right, coming up next, it's time to get into our Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, and we'll do that next. Sports Radio 610.